Hello, woman listeners. Guess what today is? It's part two of my interview with Kim, Reflections of Joy. Hello, lovely. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love the shade of pumpkin in your sweater. It's reminding me that my favorite season is in reach. I'm so excited.
I'm an autumn. You should just love me all the time then.
I do love you all the time. Oh my
No.
God. When we do a fall show, let's both rock the orange.
Okay.
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 So today we're gonna finish up your book. I am gonna talk about chapters 5 through 7 and then your conclusion because it did inspire me a question. So when you're
I'm
ready.
here.
All right, my friend. So in chapter 5, I love that you titled this chapter Savor. What a great word that is. Tell our listeners how that particular word can shift our mindsets towards enjoying food instead of letting it always be a punishing thought or a shameful thought. I think most women, especially women who have found us and are listening because they've experienced that, or it is literally their daily thought process. So talk about how you shifted that for yourself.
Savor means a lot of things to me. And I think it's after working with so many people at the gym, and like we've talked before, even with our husbands, food to people is just different, right? So some people eat mindlessly, not enjoying the taste. I have to do it. I've got to satisfy my body, or I've got to fuel my body, or whatever. And some of us also get into a routine with foods where like you're numbing yourself out with them. Like it's like you start eating chips and you just eat all of them. And or my client I talked about that drank soda all the time, right? Like she drinks it and she's not even tasting it anymore. And so to me, savor means one, delicious, but it also means like enjoyment. And that is a slowdown. Oh, it's not just eating to get it over with. It's taking time. And I so many people just eat to eat, you know? And I don't know. I think if everybody would, I think if we could all move to Europe and we could all slow our lunches down and take 2 hours and visit with people and stay connected and eat slow and eat delicious, it wouldn't matter what you ate because you're not like overconsuming. You're just staying in constant awareness of what your body wants and needs.
I love that, and I appreciate what you're saying. And that kind of gives me a second question. I don't think moving to Europe is obviously would be wonderful, but we can't all do it. But we can implement in our own families and our own lives that thought process and that habit. So that's a good thing. Food for thought, my friend. I like it. I like it. Okay, let's move on to chapter 6. I hope you listeners are okay with this. I wrote my questions down because I wanted to be thorough, and that was, a few days ago, and I don't remember them, so I have to read them. So, chapter 6, your calling, that's a very powerful thing. And in this chapter, you talk about how many years you spent as a people pleaser. I love that you learned to recognize this in yourself. And why do you think we as women do this?
I think it's how we're raised. I don't think I intentionally like raised my hand in third grade and said I'm going to be a people pleaser, but it's what I was taught as I was growing up. You know, I mean, our house was good, but it had moments where it could be tense because my parents didn't get along and whatever the case may be. And my sister and I just tried to behave all the time. And sometimes when even today, when I'm sensing situations are getting tense, I try to fix them because I want to keep enjoying the moment. I don't want to be sitting outside of something I don't want to witness, whatever, you know? I can't speak for other people. I think that the world is so much chaos that we try to keep our small circle at peace. And it's hard. It's the one, it's the one bad quality I have in, I have several bad qualities.
No.
Sure do. I haven't revealed them all yet. You're gonna find out over the course of time, but it's the one that I revert back to the most frequently. Really, it's hard for me to say no. It's hard for me to say, I'm sorry, I don't have time. It's hard for me to say, I wish you well, but I can't join you. And it's hard for me to not say something, watch your face drop, and then come right back and say, oh, I'm so sorry. That's not what I meant. Let me explain it to you in a different way, right? Because I want to keep you happy.
That
It's
sounds like a lot of work, Kim.
very difficult. It's very
Yeah.
difficult. Yeah.
So, I mean, we could have a therapy session on that. Obviously, not today. But I guess I hear you, and that is a really hard habit to break. But I'm more curious about you telling the listeners, because I want them to read your book. I don't want to give anything away because it's such a beautiful book, but how did you recognize that this was a character? Why do I try to say that word when I know I can't? When this was something about yourself, how did you learn to pinpoint, oh, that's what I'm doing?
It's just time and practice and heartache and crying. I mean, like it's just soul searching, and it's finally, sometimes I think we have to stop and slow down, and I have to write. Some other people may pray, some other people may meditate, some other people may go work out, but you have to find that thing that brings you back to yourself where you can say, okay, what's really going on, right? And what's really going on for me is I finally figured out that I wasn't living my life as me. I was not saying what I wanted to say or what I needed to say to protect my heart and to protect my wants and my needs. And I think when the shift occurs, the rest of the world looks at him and thinks, looks at us, particularly women, and think, oh my gosh, she's being so selfish. Or, she just didn't care about anybody but herself. I mean, we've all heard it, we've all said it about people. But sometimes that's just, sometimes we should, if someone in my life changes all of a sudden and they've been a people pleaser and they've been this over accommodating, over whatever, and then all of a sudden they seem to be offish, often to me, because I went through it myself, it feels like maybe something's awakened in themselves and they realized how much they were shoving their wants and needs down, 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 right? And once you figure out that, sometimes it goes way to the extreme. And I did that myself. I did it myself when I was running the gym. The gym was all about me. Not with my clients, but in my family. Once I decided I wasn't going to work with my husband anymore, and once I decided that my boys could cook a meal, and once I decided that I wasn't going to do everything for everybody, everyone in my life had to learn a different woman. And that scene was a shock to all of them.
I'm sure it was.
Yes, I've come back midway. Like I went way overboard, and then I came back and I calibrated who I want to be. I still want to be loving and caretaking and a people pleaser. I do. But I've quit flushing Kim to be that person. And I don't think that answered your question, but
It totally did. But you know, the interesting thing about this topic is that it's such an interesting conversation. And I like what you just said. You know, when we as women start to evolve and start to actually care about ourselves, sometimes we do go over to the other side real fast, real hard. And then we have to kind of figure out how is this really going to fit into our lifestyle? And so, you know, you figure out what that line is, or what that happy place, because we do have families, we do have other people in our lives that have thoughts and feelings and needs. I think that's the most valuable thing, is to be conscious of yourself, to love yourself, but to also understand that people have their needs and need to love themselves. So meeting people where they're at, I know that's such an overused expression since COVID. But for me, it rings true. I really think to meet someone where they're at in their journey, in their story, in their emotions, in their day, and not take it personally is so cool. I love that. All
Well,
right.
and don't move on quite yet, because you just triggered something in me. I think you and I talk a lot about being worthy and about doing things that make us feel like whole women. And sometimes that's a big change, right? Sometimes it's a big change. We've seen clients do it. I've done it personally. I know you have too. And I've watched people's marriages fall apart because they decided to set off on a new track, and that the old track wasn't good anymore. And so, like, what you just said though has so much meaning, because if we meet people where they are, including our most important people, through these times when we're changing, I feel like our relationships can evolve into something even better than they were before, right? But we have to be in constant communication. When I started changing, and when I decided that I wanted something different for my health and for everything in my life, I upended everything. We went through a struggle. My husband and I went through a struggle because he knew me the way I'd always been. And there were periods of time where it was really touch and go. And it wasn't until, like, I remember vividly the conversation. He said something to me, and I retaliated back with a similar, and we both looked at each other like, oh my gosh, neither one of us is happy. I mean, it was that smack that it's not just all about me. It's not just all about him, right? We together are moving. We were like this, and now we're like this. How do we get back? And it was just through a lot of good conversation and a lot of communication about, this is where I see my life going. Do you want to go there too?
Oh, I love that.
And yeah, just, we can't change everything we are and expect everybody to be cool with it.
True. But there is something to be said for understanding that we all go through changes, we all evolve, we all go through seasons, trying to find our peace. And those of the people that are in your life that just walk next to you while you're doing that are keepers, they're angels, they're awesome people, they're evolved, they're conscious. Those people who, well, you weren't like this in high school. I'm like 54. I'm like, really? Like, okay, bye bye. You weren't like this when you were 3 years old. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, if you are, we have bigger problems.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are you ready to move on?
I am. I am.
Okay. I do find it interesting that women who have gone through a self-awareness journey are always so much more peaceful after it. That's not a question, it's just a statement leading into this. So ch in chapter 7, which is titled Let It Go, I love that, of course. It seems to me that you empowered yourself to own a restaurant, own a gym, write a book. Do you see what an amazing woman that you are at this stage of your life? I mean, when you look back, do you just think, I am awesome?
Some days.
Okay, be real, girl. Come on.
And some days I think to myself, I mean, like I spend every day realizing how blessed I am and how many experiences I've had. But sometimes I also think, girl, pick something, and like, how great could it be if you could like focus in, right? And I even wrote about it today. I mean, like, I hadn't written to my email list in a long time. And I thought, oh, no, today's the day. I feel like it. And it's because I was thinking just what you said. Who is it I want to be? Right? Because the girl that graduated from high school when she was 18, well, let's back up. The 12-year-old who thought she was going to be an Olympian swimmer, right? And then the 18-year-old who was going to go to medical school. And then the 20-year-old who just wanted to be a mom. And then, and on and on and on. And then a business owner, and then a different business. And then, oh, let's write. And I mean, like, if there was money in it, I be a photographer. I'd be a painter. I'd be a whatever. But my husband's like, whoa, let's pick a hobby and stick with it for a little while, right? No, my life is incredible. My life has been incredible. And I've got a lot of things I'm very proud of. But golly, I don't. If you ask me, am I going to stick with any one thing now for the rest of my life? I don't know.
I just have to interject here. This is clearly something that you don't know about us. This is a absolute trait in Sagittarius. We want to try everything, but we stick with nothing. You know this about us. Now you do. So
No.
don't beat yourself. Oh yeah, honey.
We got to do
Don't
it
beat
though.
yourself up about this because it's totally a Sag thing. Oh yeah.
I didn't know.
Do you know how many times I've started and stopped a thing because it sounded cool and then I didn't? I was like, no, this is not for me. Clearly you have. So yeah, just embrace it. It's a Sag trait. And instead of fighting against it, because what's wrong with trying something once and getting that experience or learning that knowledge? Or it, for me, it makes me feel even better knowing the how clear I am when someone says, do you, and it might help with your people pleasing, because when someone says to you, do you want to go listen to live music? Hell no. And I'm able to say that because I don't like being in crowds. I don't like my ears ringing for 3 days out. I just, not my thing. So I'm able to have a clear boundary with that. Like, no, thank you. So there you go. I'm helping you today.
I'm taking it all in, sister. Thank you.
Okay, just continuing on with this chapter. I love in this chapter that you have so many examples of letting it go. Did you train yourself to let things go? How did this become something that came naturally to you at this stage in your life?
I reached full. I mean, I just reached full. I was, in my early 50s, and the story. I mean, I was unhappy. I had no purpose. My gym was closed. My kids were had moved on, grown up, I mean, done their thing. I didn't make time for friends when I was young. I mean, like I had acquaintances, but I didn't have any deep friendships. And I just reached this point where it's like, there's all these things, I had no confidence. I mean, I had stood in front of a gym and I knew my, but I had no confidence personally going out and meeting new people. And I just had to start saying, screw it. I take a deep breath and I'm going to walk into a room and my heart's going to be going like a darn rabbit. And I'm sweating premenopausal, postmenopausal, who knows what I was. But I mean, like, it was terrible. But all of the things that I did, it was the first step out of fear or the first step out of who I thought I was. I mean, like I talk about my road trip that I took. It was so exciting and so empowering for me to get in that truck and to drive home all by myself. I'm mid-50s and I had never been on a cross-country road trip ever by myself. And in the back of my head, I'm hearing my husband say, don't stop at a rest stop. I hear my mother saying, don't roll down your window. I'm hearing all these things, all these things. And I'm scared the whole way and I'm rounding it. And the fact that I was by myself and I'm listening to my music or nothing at all. And God's creation laying in front of me the whole darn trip. It was the most incredible thing I've ever done in my life. And when I drove into my driveway, I was like, atta girl, you did this,
I love
I
that.
was driving a car, right? I mean, but anyway, yeah. I just think, like, identify the fear, identify the stigma, identify that thing that somebody said to you when you were 10, and prove it wrong.
I do know. I've had very similar experiences along my journey too, and I love that you pointed out that doing something as a woman, no matter how old you are, by yourself and feeling good about it and confident about it and happy about it is such a growing, it's a growing sensation that I hope every single woman gets to experience. And so thank you for sharing that. I love that. Okay, are we ready to move on? In your conclusion, you decide. I love how you say that because you're giving your readers a choice. And I wish I would have said in last week's episode, grab your copy so you could follow along or read it, and then we would have this conversation. But I'm saying it to you now, listeners. Go get yourself a copy and then listen to our show again. And a lot of this, I think, will fall into place after reading it. But I love, love, love that you say healthy can be easy. It's a way of life, and that you and I talk about it. Let it be easy. Why do we, and I'm saying, as a group of people, women, why do we make things so hard?
They
Me
tell us,
included, me included. I'm not judging, I'm saying.
I mean, it's just what we've been told, and maybe we haven't been told. Maybe we've just watched it. We all watched our mom, rip the tab off of a Weight Watcher frozen meal and suffer through it. We all watched people, and like I still to this day, I know some people like the taste of Diet Coke, but it's only because you've become accustomed to it. It's really disgusting,
It
and yet
really is.
people drink it because.
It says diet on it. Let's just be real.
Zero calories, right? And
Isn't it?
it's awful. And it's awful for you, right? I mean, like, so it we just make it so darn hard. If we would eat when we're hungry, and if we would sleep when we're tired, and if we would move our bodies every day, and if instead of you come home and you've had a bad day at work, and because sometimes that's going to happen. Instead of like popping a cold one, we would sit down and have a conversation, or lay down and listen to some music, or go for a walk, or hit the gym. All the things. We just make it so hard. It's, I don't have time for this, or oh, I'm sick. I'm going to take a pill for this. We'll go for a walk instead. You don't have to take the pill. We make it so hard.
Yeah.
And still today I was at the doctor with my mom, and I love my mom. And my mom is on this laundry list of medications. She has an autoimmune that causes the need for some. She's 80, that ha there's some other, I mean, like there's life, right? I mean, medicine's not bad, but she's on so many that we're trying to identify, like, why is it so hard to identify why she's tired, why she doesn't want to go up, get out of bed? Well, she's taking this cocktail of medicines that's contributing to the problem. You just have to listen to your body and listen to your mind and listen to your heart and your God and your everything, right? And just do what it tells you.
Well, thank God that she has you who's advocating for her, because I think when we get that age, it just seems like, okay, I'm 80, I need to be on 50 meds. And the more that we educate ourselves, the more that we stay strong and have people who love us and want the best for us. I think that, but oh, I mean, that's a whole nother show about, pharmaceutical companies. So we won't get into that right now. We'll keep it here.
Yes, I enjoy. We'll keep it enjoy.
Yeah, we'll keep it enjoy. I just love that realization for you, for me, and I'm sure for many other women. I'm making this really, really hard. And so to kind of have that mantra in the back of your head, like, let this be easy. And when we do start to feel overwhelmed with life, and I think it's so important that for me, I don't have kids, but I'm in a long-term relationship with someone. And instead of being resentful that I have to go organize someone's closet all day, and then I have to come home and cook dinner, and then, it's like, why I'm doing this to myself, because I'm feeling like overwhelmed and that no one's helping me. I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. And I said, hey, babe, I need you to handle dinner tonight. Okay. Okay. I mean, that's how easy it can be. And sometimes I've had to teach him how to cook like two things so he feels safe and comfortable in the kitchen. But that was fine. I'm open to do stuff like that because it takes it off my plate when I really need it. And so asking for help is such a huge thing for women. And I didn't realize how much we don't do it in our lives and how easy it is to make that shift. So, ladies, start asking your kids, your significant other, your sister, people who are in your life for help because they can't read your mind. They don't know you need it unless you ask for it. But that's what we mean when we're saying, let it be easy. I love that so much. Okay. I love how you put recipes in the back of your book. That is so cool. I think, again, too, we talked about that I did not learn how to cook a real, like, from scratch meal until my late 30s. And I think recipes felt so overwhelming because I just didn't have the skills. I didn't know what measuring spoons were. I didn't understand tablespoon versus teaspoon. And I think that if you just give yourself a little bit of a background, learn some basic kitchen skills, and just understand that a recipe is just a breakdown of ingredients. You put them together and you let the oven do the work. I think that it's so interesting how overwhelming a recipe can be. And I love that yours are very easy to follow. I don't want to use the word simple in a negative word because, but they're simple. You can follow them and make some really lovely, wholesome foods. What inspired you to do that? And was it a last minute thing, or did you always know that you were going to do that in your book?
The book was going to be a manual, right? I mean, like when I started, that was my, it was just gonna, not a manual, but like a diet book, right? I was going to tell people what we did, and all this other stuff came into be as I was writing because the manual didn't feel right. And so the recipes were always going to be in there, but I mean, this is how I cook. That's how what you're seeing in the book is what is the way I do life. And I learned it. My mom was a great cook, but she, like, we didn't do four or five, six step recipes, you know? I mean, like, I see all these people and you have to sear this and you have to do this and you set this aside and whatever. Pfft. Not in my world, right? Because I'm too busy. And a huge holiday meal, am I gonna like turn it up? Yeah, probably. But I just think food is such a big part of our lives, and it should be delicious. And so I just want to teach people how to make it inexpensive and delicious and easy, so everybody can quit saying, I don't have time, I don't have the money. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. You can still eat delicious food. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, again, not to go off topic, but one day we'll have a show about the stories that we have on repeat. And that's what they are. It's a story. And I'm not diminishing women and people who have busy lives. I lived in New York for 16, 17 years, especially if you have a full-time career and kid. I mean, yeah, there's busy, but there's choices. And again, not off topic. We'll discuss that another time. But I just wanted to kind of finish up today with A, giving you the space to talk about anything else about your book that was your intention about putting it in the world without giving it too much away. And my final question about your book is the day that you knew it was done, the day that you were ready to send it to editor slash publishing, I want you to tell our listeners how, you know, what your feeling it was, just whatever that feeling was.
It was amazing, because I really struggled with the ending. I didn't want to just write the let go chapter and let it sit. There had to be a wrap up, and my husband and I did 75 hard, and as we were in the middle of 75 hard, which I would never do again. I learned so much about myself, and it was just the natural ending. And it's where it can be easy came from. I mean, that we live life with rules and regulations and expectations and all of this baggage that's been put on us, either by ourselves or everybody else in the world, right? And at that moment, when that short conclusion came into be, and I sat down and I wrote a prayer, and it's the only prayer in the book, you know. I just knew it was done. And I, before I could even go back and revisit it, rethink it, be a people pleaser and make it right for everyone, I hit send, and it was good. I think my Instagram shows a picture. I don't know. I took a selfie. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm so proud of you that you did that, and you did it for yourself, and you did it for womankind. And I just want to tell our listeners that it's a beautiful book. It's beautifully written, and it really does have, even though you're sharing your story, it does have the message throughout that you want every woman to experience freedom and peace and happiness and love. And yeah, and you did that.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So tell our listeners, if they don't know it by heart by now, where can they find your book? Where can they find you?
They can find my book anywhere books are sold online. most of the time, Amazon, and Amazon's running some kicking sales right now on books. Everyone I look up, everyone I want to buy, it's like these great sales. So, and then
Reading.
I also sell books on my website, which is Kim Mosman Wellness, and there's guest blogs there, and there's my blogs there, and there's a little bit of information about coaching. And so yeah, if you want to know the real me, you could just go to my website. If you just want it fast, you go to Amazon.
Got it. What about your sosh? Where are you on socials?
I am Kim Mosman everywhere. I got and I'm the whole woman, and I'm writer to writer. Yeah,
Could
I
you
sound
have
a
any
little
more
bit
pages?
diversified. Could I? I can't. Instagram told me I had the limit. I am done. I can have no more.
Okay, no more. So three is the limit.
No,
I
there's
just
more.
realized that I said your name, Mossman, on our first interview.
Did you?
Rude.
I don't know you.
Mosman.
Mosman. Yes, Mosman. I, you know what? I get called all kinds of things. And,
I
the
can see that.
difference in the accent on my last name is the least of my worries.
Okay,
I feel.
fair enough.
All
Well,
right,
I want
friend.
to say thank you so much for listening, and please, please, please go buy yourself a copy of Reflections of Joy.
Thank you, friend.